This is Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network.
From Monaco to Indianapolis, Le Mans to Daytona, and everywhere in between.
This is your one-stop shop for provocative motorsport talk.
From the ITA Podcast Network, this is the Into the Paddock Podcast.
Into the Paddock Podcast.
Into the Apex, and I feel like I'm on the road at an IMSA race. I've got it's Tyler in the main studio. Bruce Perry, Mr. Daytona, is back with us in the studio remotely, and Jason Bivens from California with us remotely in the studio. And it's going to be the three of us holding it down this week. I see you guys on the road a lot, especially Daytona. That's the time when we all are together. So it's kind of like harkening back to January, but it's getting a little bit warmer, and I want to really recognize the month of May. Happy May to everybody. It's IndyCar season. It's Indy 500 season. It's time to get really hyped up about that. And well, first, I guess I'll say good luck to those out there that are doing the majors, Speedway 500 and the Dallara IR01. We talked about that quite a bit. I think I'm the only one in the room right now that's doing that this weekend, but good luck to everybody in that. And we talked about it a lot last week. I'm excited for that. Bruce, I want to start with you. I've got my magnifying glass out. I'm going to start examining.
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
We're going to get into it. I want to start with Bruce because the last time Mr. Daytona was on the show, we named the entire episode after what we talked about with him. And that was iRacing psychology appointment. That was back earlier this year. We were checking in. I was worried about you because you weren't racing a lot. I think we were all kind of going through a slump. I don't know what it is. It was like a black cloud, but I want to check in with you for the listeners that know you and have listened to each episode. As we go into May, as it gets nicer out, where are you at with your iRacing, your sim racing? I want to say you got some new hardware as far as your PC.
You want to say that, and you would be correct to say that.
I pay attention.
Yeah. Built a new PC. More out of just because of somebody I knew at work was getting rid of his that he built, like, I don't know, a month ago, right? He's one of these young guys. It's got to have the latest and greatest, and after a month or so, he's done with it. So he's always like, hey, who wants this? So, yeah, built another, rig or computer, thinking that would help with the whole situation, maybe get some excitement back. Sadly to say, I haven't been running too much road. It's been mostly oval right now, and just been having a little, good time with that. But very shortly here, get back into road, as you know. So I'm not racing as much as I used to, but I am on here 2 to 3 times a week. So
I see you more often as far as our group folks. I noticed there's a lot of oval racing, and I think we've talked about it over the years. I had my period of time, especially during the initial part of COVID, where I kind of replaced going to the gym with racing open class C fixed or whatever, the trucks on an oval race in the morning, and just listening to people say stupid shit all the time and joke around. And that's kind of what I did. And then here in the last, I don't know, year and a half, 2 years, I've really fallen off of the ovals. But it sounds like you've fallen back in love with it. Is that a fair statement?
Well, right now, I wouldn't say in love with it. I'm running it.
So what you're saying is you get crashed a lot.
It's typical iRacing. Yeah. I mean, it's bad, right? I mean, I don't care what split you're in. Guys just don't have any kind of racecraft anymore. I don't know what's going on, but
kids these days.
Yeah, kids these days. So basically, I made a commitment. You know, we as you probably mentioned in the podcast here many times, we have a pretty solid oval program to go along with the road program. And I said, you know what? I'm going to jump on board and make a commitment and see if I can't run the whole NIS season and just see what happens, you know? I mean, it's been fun. Cody that does our setups, they've been great. I don't know how many times I've been in the top five towards the end of the race and gotten wrecked out. You know, I got a lot of good runs that's keeping my, you know, interest in it. And nothing to show for it. Nothing to show for it. We'll get that green, white checkered and all hell breaks loose. And it's just like, I get caught up in it all the time. So I don't know. We'll see, but I'm going to try to run out the whole season in the NIS. I think here I'm going to get back into road a little bit more. So we'll see.
Broadly speaking, as an iRacing member, as a sim racer, do you get more upset at oval racing or road racing when something goes wrong?
You know, I think it, for some reason, I feel like I get more upset with the oval racing. And I don't know why. Maybe because I feel like it should be easier.
It's definitely more chaotic. Jason, I want to bring you in because
it's chaotic.
I know you've stuck to road racing. I know you've gotten back into some of the BMW Sim Cup. We kind of got on a bit of a topic last week because you were talking to me about the BMW Sim Cup not being as popular as we think it should be. But you've tried oval racing. I mean, where do you stand on this? If we're going to do oval versus road, I mean, I think our podcast is pretty slanted towards road. Anybody that listens to us for more than five episodes knows, but have you tried oval? I don't know if I've even asked you about that.
Yeah, I dipped my toe in and that was about it. And also I think I got like ran out of more public, you know, open, races on iRacing in oval. Yeah. Like, what are you doing, idiot? Right. Like kind of, if you were going to be a guy just starting road racing, it might be the same thing. Right. But I think I know all the etiquette there and everything. Even when I was new, I still knew more about the road racing etiquette than oval racing. And so, yeah, there was a couple where I'm like, I don't need to be abused like this. if anybody's going to abuse me, it's going to be Bruce. But
that's what I say.
Your intro kind of made me think that Patrick and Bruce need their own show on the network here. Just two dudes talking about oval racing. I don't know.
I know.
I like the speedway stuff, the longer tracks. Those are a lot of fun. The drafting element, the teamwork part of it, it's cool. If I had more time to do it, I probably would. Much like Bruce, though, I'm pretty busy, especially when the nice weather comes around. Then I'm not in front of the rig that often. But me and Andy Malinowski will be running the BMW Sim Cup again this Sunday. So, and it's super early for me. Yeah. You guys were all complaining about it over there, but I mean, it's 5 a.m. for me to do it. And Rob was wrong. You don't get half a stint. So what the guy that starts, I'll let you know you're wrong, Rob. The guy that starts runs a full stint. And then the guy that finishes runs a stint in like three or four laps. Like they make it specifically so that it's, you know, a two-stop race no matter what. Mm-hmm. It is just a splash and dash at the end. And that makes it interesting. But we have fun just because it doesn't take your whole, it's the total opposite of the long races we run. It doesn't take your whole day up or two or 24 hours up. But you're up and you're at it If you do great, you're pumped. But if you don't do that great, you're also, well, I didn't spend 12 hours doing that right now. So
you bring a good point up there. If we're going to talk about moving from the oval to the road, I mean, oval, what? You take a giant chunk of your time with some of the longer ones. I assume NIS. I honestly love the idea of NIS, Bruce, but I haven't run but maybe two in my whole iRacing career. I run the Daytona 500 event. I used to run the Indy 500 event until fucking Motorsport Games. And I understand the time consumption of that one because of cautions and stuff like that. I mean, mainly cautions. But yeah, you make a good point of time investment. We all invest so much time. If you have trying to do that life balance, especially on the weekend when these events are, these 24-hour events are a bit of a zap. And it's tough to schedule. It's tough to sort it out. And you really, that's a tough thing as you were depending on where you are in your life as a person, a sim racer. Like, how are you going to balance the time out to do these events? And especially during the week. I've found that it's easier and I don't really have a league right now. I don't have a road league. I'm kind of looking for a league that I feel like is right. But I find that if you have a league, it's a little easier because you can just kind of, oh, okay, it's like a bowling league. It's like a golf league. We're playing like that type of thing. But just trying to catch official sessions when you're busy in life, that's tough. And trying to balance these special events, if you want to really scratch the itch and do all of them, I mean, there's one every month. And it's tough to do that, depending on what you're doing, how busy you are.
Yeah, I think, I after running the 24 hours at Daytona, well, we did two of them, right?
Never again.
Yeah, my sleep pattern, I think, was off for like another 5 days after the race. I mean, I was
yeah, that was tough.
That was brutal. Hey, we did it.
Yeah, never doing that again. Never doing that again. But we've got, I mean, you alluded, Bruce, that you're in the ovals. You're doing a lot of oval racing the past few months. I've noticed that. I imagine a lot of people out there go through those phases or go through those ups and downs. I mean, I think there's so much, especially if we're talking iRacing, there's so much out there. I mean, they add more content. They barely take any away. So there's always more and more and more to do, and there's more popular things than others. But I think it is a smart thing to kind of take a break from some and get fresh with others and just kind of keep it fresh. Don't get burnt out. Enjoy your hobby. I mean, take a break, do what you got to do. But like you said, there's a lot coming up through the summer here. You've got Nürburgring. What is it, next week? Next weekend is Nürburgring. Am I correct?
Yeah.
And that's right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's usually in April, week. But that's next week. Have I turned a single practice lap? No, but that's me. I don't know. I mean, my mind is not there.
I have enough time to learn it right now, right? For this week? Yeah. I mean, I'll be good, right?
Yeah.
Put about 4 hours a day in for the next week. Yeah,
you'll be so good. Like five laps a day?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I was loving hearing Patrick. You guys are like, well, you know, if he bends it, and he's like, if, like, yeah. he's not going into that race with a ton of confidence. It doesn't sound like.
We're working on Pat's confidence.
I feel like that race may end early for y'all. Not sure.
It always does. It always has. The only place I see Patrick with a ton of confidence, love you, Pat, is Daytona, because we do practice Daytona up the ass. Pardon my phrasing there, but we do. So practice, I mean, Bruce, Mr. Daytona, what did you say? What was the phrase you used? Something memory, implicit memory?
Implicit and explicit memory.
We certainly all get that for Daytona. For Nürburgring, we don't. I mean, I still remember our podcast that we did before my first Nürburgring 24, what was it, 2 years ago? And it was basically, if I recall correctly, it was a whole podcast of me just being terrified and anxious and nervous and saying that into a microphone for an hour. And honestly, this many couple years later, I still don't know the second half of Nürburgring. I don't. And it's coming up next week. And my mind's not fully on it. I mean, there's a lot for somebody that's trying to do all these events, because you got the Majors 24 at Le Mans coming up. Then you have Spa. You got Watkins Glen. I almost forgot about Watkins Glen. I mean, a lot of road events coming up, Bruce.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you just anymore, I just can't do them all. So I kind of, you know, have to pick and choose. I just can't spend every weekend racing the endurance races. Years ago, absolutely, but not now. So, you know, the Oval NIS, you know, it's Wednesday, Friday, Sunday for me. And I only try to just do Wednesday night. If I have a decent run Wednesday, that's it. That's my one and done for the week. If I don't, then I'll try Friday. And then maybe Sunday mornings. But I find I just practice maybe Monday night for that, and that's it. And maybe a few laps before the Wednesday night race. Whereas the endurance stuff, I don't know. Obviously, you know, I do a lot more practice for that stuff. So I've been running NEC events, the 4-hour Nürburgring events, and running some laps already, quite a few laps already. So getting ready for the 24. I don't want to be that guy.
Well, that's what we've always said for almost 3 years now, is we don't want to be that guy in the team races. And I mean, everybody's going to be that guy at some point. I don't know, unless you're just the Iron Man or something. But you mentioned, as far as the NIS and what you do, you practice a little bit, and then you kind of take some shots at it. And then if you get a good result, you're done. I mean, talk about a psychology appointment. You're after a certain result, and you don't feel fulfilled. You keep going after it. I mean, from what I hear, if I'm really going to dive deeply into Bruce, deeply inside Bruce, into his psyche, just his psyche, nothing else. I'm hearing that you've still got some of that competitive juice in you, because you want that good result. You're after that result. And maybe you've got some of that veteran sim racer sense in you, that you get that good result, you stop while you're ahead. You don't keep going and fuck it up.
It's like gambling, right? it takes a lot of discipline, but when you're ahead, stop.
I've never been to Vegas. I don't know anything other than a simple Jesus. Sports bet. I'm a Vegas. Right.
But yeah, you know, even I'm still competitive. I still want to win, right? I still have a desire to win. We all do, but otherwise we wouldn't be doing this. But and that's what's frustrating. So when shit happens that's out of your control and you get wrecked or whatever, you're like, God damn it, I had a top five finish coming, and you get taken out for something stupid. All right, I know I can win this, or I know I can finish top five anyway. I am going to run the next one. And try to get that result, right? It's that high we're all after. So, whether it's road racing or oval or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, just trying to lock it in, Jason.
My mind just totally went to just a road show in Vegas. That's it. I won't be able to focus anything else here the rest of the pod, I don't think.
we want to do a road show in Vegas.
We have to make it happen. We use these races as an excuse to hang out together. I think we have a great time obviously doing all the race stuff, but you don't necessarily need an appointment to go to Vegas. And I think they make, depending where you're at, flights are generally pretty cheap. They want to get people over there, right? But I know do you fly from Charlotte, Tyler? I forget. Or
Charlotte or Raleigh here in the at the main HQ.
I know that Charlotte, anyways, it's tough. Like, there's not a lot of connecting flights, or not a lot of direct flights anywhere from Charlotte. So, yeah, I don't know. But we just need to put it on the calendar, and usually we're pretty good about it. If it goes on calendar, we're going to do it. And then for me, if I spend money on a reservation, then I'll go, right? But if I don't, then I won't.
Yeah, we're solid on that. I mean, I would take the show on the road just to walk on the ground where F1 cars drove. I don't need to go watch the F1 race for $1 million a ticket. So Vegas now has, for us, a motorsport connection, as loose as we want it to be. But really, I mean, just getting everybody together. Yeah, we've got a Pittsburgh show coming together in July that we're kind of nailing the details down on. It's going to just kind of surround karting. But Bradley and I have been talking. I mean, we're going on 3 years of Into the Apex and this whole project, and we've yet to get out west. So going out west, we've got so many folks. We got you, Alex Mottola, Roger Shank is a guy out there in Vegas. We've got so many folks around the U.S., not to mention the world and Europe, that we could meet up with. But West Coast is – we got to get out to the West Coast.
Got to. Adam Poppenhaus with the – Operation Motorsport is in Vegas also, and I know he would be a good host. And
yes,
there is. I know that there's a big. I saw it last time I was there. It's not. I don't think it's close to the strip, but I think there is a big karting track out there also with some faster karts to run. And then I'm sure we could go crash Spring Mountain, like hopefully not actually crash on Spring Mountain, but we could go out there and do some stuff out there with Alex and Kevin. But yeah, we got to plan it. So maybe it sounds like this year is probably getting packed up, but you know, maybe 20, it's weird when you start planning things from like a year out, right? Or a year and a half out, but it's just, you have to, right? It's just,
the summer's packed. The fall, I mean, I don't know what the weather's out there in November, but it's not great here in the southeast, but I assume it's pretty decent out there. So
yeah, it can be. Vegas gets cool at night, but it's still probably warmer than back east, and there's lots of golf too, which the ITA crew has been known to swing the clubs.
Oh, yes.
And Bruce can caddy for me.
We do. Bruce, have you been to Vegas?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the only one that's never been to Vegas.
I feel like that too.
When was the last time you were there, Bruce?
Well, it's been a while. I will admit that. 2017, 2018.
That's not terrible. I mean,
no, but it's been a while. Like my wife and I were talking about it. We're due to go back.
I mean, I've never been, obviously. I've only been out west in America once, to Los Angeles in 2012, if that tells you anything. So I'm overdue, but I mean, Rob, if Rob were here, he'd be singing the Vegas tunes. Rob is a Vegas fanatic. But I always get, I'm just like, shit, I live under a rock, because every time I hear about it, I'm like, I've never been. So I feel like it's what we got to do. Like, you don't understand it, I assume, until you get there. Like, I didn't understand Nashville at all until we went to the Nashville Grand Prix last year and got to experience what Nashville is. And it's not at all what I expected. And that's always a pleasant surprise when you go somewhere, when you travel like that. And I mean, it's something that you can always go to. It's like, oh yeah, I'd absolutely go back to Nashville. I assume Vegas is the same in its own way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Vegas is always changing too. So, you know, in the 6 years I haven't been there, I know there's been a lot of changes. So, you know, new venues, new casinos, new whatever, you know. So it's cool to go back. The last time we went out, we drove the RV cross country. So we got to stay a bunch of different places and all. So it was fun.
Speaking of betting and gambling, I was in Ohio a couple weekends ago. And I did a little sports betting on the NASCAR race, and it was the Talladega NASCAR race. And because it's now legal in Ohio, I used to live up there, it was not. I put money on Bubba Wallace in that Talladega race, and I think he was second until like the last lap. I was so sick with I would have won a couple $100s. I mean, I didn't.
Wasn't he leading?
I want to say he was.
I think he was. He was trying to throw a block.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Because he always does good at super speedways, and that seems to be it. He's got that rain-shortened Talladega win. So I was like, okay, I'm going to put, I think I put $5 or something like that on Bubba Wallace. Big I put spender. $10 on Brad Keselowski and left it at that. I spent $15. What can I tell you? I could have won $200-some on old Bubba, but he got crashed. And I was listening to it on MRN because I was driving at the end, last part of the race. And I think I broke something in the car because I was so upset because I heard that he was crashed. So yeah, sports betting on racing, that's a slippery slope for me. I'm still spoiled from winning my first ever sports bet with Elio Castro Neves in the 2021 Indy 500. That I just feel like I'm a savant, and I certainly am not at all. So don't take me. If you take me to Vegas, the moral of that is: if you take me to Vegas, watch me closely.
Well, the worst thing to happen in Vegas, believe it or not, is if you go out there your first trip. Well, no, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right?
Okay.
No, the next worst thing is if you actually win, right? Because if you win, first time you go, forget it. You're going to be a junkie.
Oh, really?
You're going to keep going. Yeah, you're going to keep on going. You're going to keep on chasing that high again. You know, it's just like drugs. Just like racing. It's same thing. I remember the first time my wife and I went out there, and we both, like, did good.
That's the trick.
Yeah, that was a fleeting moment.
So when grew up under a rock, Tyler, idiot Tyler, naive Tyler, and Bradley, the Beeman Bros, go out there and win a couple bucks, you're not going to be able to direct us anywhere else. We're gonna be chasing those couple bucks.
You got me in the casino, 24 hours. Where'd they go? Oh, they're in the casino.
I think the most dangerous place for Tyler will still always be the merch tent at any given rate.
unless the race is going on.
No.
They won't have those out there.
That cuts deep, Jason, and that cuts straight to the heart of the truth.
Oh, it's accurate.
And I'm going to have to... It is very accurate. Give Tyler two drinks, $300, and send him to the merch truck that has a Porsche jacket, and he'll be given shit about it for the next decade, as he should. I think that's a good spot to take our midway break. we're gonna take a little break. We'll be right back on Into the Apex.
Don't go anywhere. More Into the Apex is coming up.
Tired of getting caught up in the mayhem of turn one? So are we. Although we can't protect you from disasters in iRacing, we can protect you and your family from mayhem on the road or at home. The Allstate Javicki Agency proudly protects families in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Give John a call today at 412-561-6239. Mention Mad Sim Racing or Into the Apex when calling to receive a gift card with a qualified quote. No purchase necessary. Into the Apex is going back on the road in 2023, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Pro Kart Concepts. Pro Kart Concepts provides top-tier carts, parts, and consumables to the tri-state area and support based out of the Pittsburgh International Raceway. If there's anyone that can get you set in the world of karting, it's Eric and Dan with PKC. Visit ProKartConcepts.com for more information. This episode is brought to you by the racing fans at Great Hire HR. Whether you're hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire will let you keep doing what is important, running your business. For more information, visit GreatHireHR.com. You've just achieved your greatest accomplishment as a sim racer. Now what? Don't let it become just another stat you never see. Alien Awards is a service run by and for sim racers, creating clearly printed plaques on solid surfaces, something you can display proudly to mark a major victory and show off your team and sponsors. Whether you're an individual driver looking to create a memory or a league owner looking to take your season to the next level, Alien Awards can help. These are quality awards I know because I've won one. There are no setup or design fees, and shipping in the U.S. is free. Take your sim racing career to new heights. Visit alienawards.net. That's alienawards.net. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by our partners at Track Racer. Since 2008, Track Racer has been designing and pioneering best value, high-end gaming platforms and accessories. Track Racer products are made from the highest quality materials that offer unsurpassed durability. Track Racer is supported by recognizable names such as Haley Deegan, Ross Chastain, Alex Pillow, and Alpine F1 Team. Check them out through the link on our website, intotheapex.com, and support the show.
This is Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network.
We're back on Into the Apex. Tyler, Bruce, and Jason Bivens joining us for this week's episode. And we talked a bit of sim racing the first half. We kind of got in the weeds of oval and road. I want to talk a little bit of real racing, real driving here in the second half. Jason, I know we've had you on over the past year or so, and you've done some champ car. You've got a Jetta that you've been competing in. It's race ready. But I know that you're trying to part ways with that car now.
Yeah, so I actually have not raced this car. I bought it with the intention of going racing out here with some of the West Coast series, some of the West Coast, amateur series, where I can invite friends that don't have a license, and they can come run with me, no problem. And so it was the genesis of the idea, I think, was solid. And I immediately opened my checkbook 2 years ago and started buying, some of the initial things you need, like this car. And then I'm like, well, now the car isn't going to pass tech, so now I need to put this into it. And it's kind of I guess it's a running joke for race cars and for boats, right? It's break out another 1,000. It's there's always kind of something else you're throwing it into it. And I think I maybe had some people try to tell me that it was not a good idea. And I was pretty determined. And
it wasn't anybody here that was telling you it was a bad.
Yeah.
No, definitely not.
We're all for it. Yeah.
No, there was much reading on. So it's a cool car. I've taken it to a couple track days just to kind of shake it down after got a few, complete rebuild of all the fuel system, fuel cell. The fuel cell, I think, is actually worth more than the car. It's an FIA, spec. It's literally, I think, $5,000 fuel cell or something in a 2003 Jetta that has a billion miles on it. So I don't know. So it's very safe. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I bought a Super Duty, Ford truck because I needed to be able to tow this thing. Mm-hmm. And I bought an enclosed trailer. So yeah, it's really like, it's like this escalation here where I'm like, this is great, we're gonna go racing. But the big stumbling block I have is I'm not a mechanic. I just, I can do a lot of basic stuff. So I can change the tires. There's things. If you show me, give me instructions of what to do, I'm going to go do it. But I can't go troubleshoot a problem, or even really, do a brake job on it. So some of the things that are very basic are just not, and I'm just not really willing to go and learn. You can YouTube anything right now, right? And I've talked to other people. And that's kind of the way they're pushing me. It's just like, just figure it out. Like, you'll have fun doing it, which I think I would, but I just don't know. I want to put the time into it. And there's a lot of series where I can, this sounds a little snobbish, but I can fly in on a Thursday night and go racing on Friday practice and in some much faster cars than the car that's sitting out in my garage right now. So it's, so I'm at this crossroads and I actually listed it for sale on all the different kind of road racing, Facebook pages over the weekend and got a lot of people, asking questions about it, but nobody really was like, yeah, it's me. And a lot of people know the car from Lucky Dog series because it was a podium car. And so there's a lot of people like, oh yeah, that's Lars. His name is Lars Wolf and a cool guy who built the car originally. And they're like, oh yeah, it's a fast car. So, but that's, people complimenting it versus, people writing a check are different. I'm at a crossroads and I would, part of me, it's like, all right, let's get the team together here and I'll bring it back east and leave it back there. And it can be kind of a team car, but obviously there's gotta be some sort of financial contribution, looking at you, Bruce.
That's right.
It's like, what? It's your rig is worth more than this car. Your rig is worth more than this car is. So you can,
My rig's not for sale.
So I'm down to like brainstorm if there's some way that it can be, moved on to still serve the original purpose. That would be awesome. But I'd love to throw it out there to the ITA, group and see what happens.
Yeah. I think we've got folks that listen that do Champ Car. I know we got some folks in Asheville that do some of that. Would this car fit the Lemons or is this car a step above the Lemons thing?
Yeah, no, it would be great for Lemons. It would be probably in the A class for Lemons because it does. It has a lot of power. So it's a turbo car, and there's plenty. I mean, Lemons. It's funny because even when you post on there, people were giving me guff, like because they want you to be that $500 rule. and it's very loose, you know, and they really need every type of racer in there. But there are guys just trying to go have fun, you know, racing, you know, a Ford Fiesta from the 80s or whenever that car came out, right? And they want to dress up, and that's cool. And a lot of those guys are, they're really fun, right? Like the joke with Lemons is I went to a race and a party broke out, I think is what they say.
Yeah, yeah. And sounds like Sebring.
Yeah, right, exactly. So there's that element, but then, you know, a good percentage of the people that enter are also guys that they want to race and they want to improve, you know, their ability. They want to go fast, right? So they're paying a big part of the fees too to enter, right? So you kind of need both in there, and this would be, yeah, you could run at Lemons, then obviously you have a lot of champ races out there on the, you know, eastern side, and I think you have AER also, but it wouldn't be fast enough for WRL, which runs a lot of races out there as well, but you'd be kind of getting run over out there. But there's a ton of races, a ton of tracks out your direction where this thing could be competitive and just fun, right? And people just could do it for the first time.
I'm kind of in the same boat as you, because I would love the idea of having a car like that and doing competitive racing in whatever it is, Lemons, or probably Lemons at this point, because I've never put myself to that test, but I don't have the wrenching capability. I don't think I've ever said on the show before, but when I was just a young high schooler, I took AutoTech classes, AutoTech 1 and 2, as I recall. AutoTech 2 was the advanced one. And I tried so hard, and I went on a field trip because I was grew up in Western North Carolina, took a field trip to the NASCAR Technical Institute in Mooresville down near Charlotte. Because, I mean, Bradley and I grew up in NASCAR country. We were NASCAR guys. And my dream, when I first thought of a career as a, you know, young fella, I thought, I want to be on a NASCAR team, because our dad took us to Martinsville a lot, to Charlotte Motor Speedway. We watched NASCAR every Sunday. I mean, from that young age, we weren't into road racing like we are now, but as far as NASCAR, I wanted to be a NASCAR crew member in some way. I wanted to be in the middle of that. But I quickly learned in AutoTech in high school, in shop class, basically, that I had zero talent other than perhaps changing oil. No talent, no intuitiveness with mechanic work. And so that dream died quick. That dream died quick, and I do the trade that I do now. So I'm right there with you, and I would kind of need that kind of arrive and drive, because as I told a couple years ago when I was in Ohio, Zach from our sim racing group had me out on their champ car team. They had a BMW and champ car, real fast car, and I had to tell them the only thing I can do is probably not much, just stand there. So what they put me on, they had me go over the wall and hold the fire extinguisher, and that's all I could really contribute. Bruce, I want to bring you in, because I know in the olden days, the far olden days, Bruce, you have also crewed. Bruce has crewed on a Daytona Rolex 24 team. So I want to bring that knowledge in, because I want to hear about that. Where did you fit in on that team? How do you feel you fit in? Because I felt like I was in the same experience doing a champ car race holding a goddamn fire extinguisher.
Well, you know, I was basically starting out cleaning the car. You know,
I would do that. I would clean any IMSA car right now for free.
Me too.
Yeah.
Still, but so that's kind of where it started, and then as things progressed, I got to do more and more stuff. I was basically on tires as far as getting them mounted at the Goodyear or whoever we were using back then. And then doing air pressures and stuff like that. And then they moved me over to refueling. So I handled going over the wall with the, you know, fueler. Oh, wow. It was the two hose system. Right. And so that was exciting. That was still one of the greatest experiences of my life, was the first time like jumping over a wall with the fuel hoses over your shoulder and plugging into the car when it came to the screeching halt. And, you know, they, so I was on that for quite a few years. And then just taking, you know, getting the fuel usage, refilling the rig that we had for the fuel. So I just handled everything that had to do with the fuel for the team.
Well, you look okay. So I assume you never got injured.
Nope. Never got injured. You know, my brother was a front tire changer, and I remember he almost got hit once. Oh, wow. It was kind of close and scary, but IMSA, like you said, you know, there's a guy on a fire bottle standing there,
yeah,
you know, when they came in. You also had a guy just basically in front of the car to wave it on and keep an eye out on what's going on around it. So it was pretty safe. But yeah, still, even though it was safe, it was still a little scary, you know, but I don't regret it. You know, I remember the first time we, Watkins Glen, we lost a motor. We were running Porsche that year, lost the motor in practice. We thought we were done for the weekend. We somehow, the guy that owned the team, which was Pegasus Racing, by the way, back in the early 90s, came into another motor that somebody drove up overnight for us. And this was for the 6 hours of the Glen.
Oh, wow.
And we spent the next day in, God, it must have been 100 degrees that weekend up there. It was brutal. And, of course, you know, the race team, we all got to wear black, you know. Yeah. I just never forget. Here I am. I was young. I didn't know anything about changing motors, especially a motor that had like an entire tag system on there for all the telemetry and everything. Oh my God, there's miles of wire. Miles of wire to say. It's like, what the? So, proudest moment. We, you know, this ragtag bunch of guys, because that's, we had one real mechanic on our team, which I'll get to that in a second. But yeah, but here we are. You know, he led us through it, and we finished sixth in that race, 6 hours. Like, the fact that we finished,
yeah,
we did have a couple screws left over after we changed the motor, which we found out at VIR what it was. It was actually the ground wire. Never got reconnected.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we couldn't get the car started down there in VIR 2 weeks later. And we kept having battery issues, and yeah, that's what it was. But anyway, Carl Troy was our crew chief and main mechanic. And Carl is about to do the one lap of America coming up here soon. He's an interesting character. He was crew chief on the Jägermeister team in Europe when they run the world championship. Yeah, Carl's pretty cool. And, you know, it was a hell of an experience working alongside with him. You know, he knew his shit, and it was a blast. I'm sorry to see it all end. But the owner of the team, he had a budget, he had a spending limit, I guess. Mm-hmm. And once the money was gone, that was it. Racing was over. So he went on to other things, but it was a good time in my life. I enjoyed the shit out of it. I think I told you before.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work though.
Yeah.
It was like when we went to the track and people would ask us about, like, oh, what's that track like? I think it was called Miller Motorsports Park back in the day. It's out in Utah. Mm-hmm. And we raced out there, and it was a brand new facility, supposed to be state of the art, you know. And when I got back home, everybody was like, oh, what's that place like? What's you know, it looks really cool on TV. And I'm like, yeah, I can't tell you. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
I saw our garage space and about 40 feet of pit wall in front stretch. That's it, you know. And then from there on, it was work, 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 and more work. So that part, I miss it and I don't miss it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when we were down in Daytona this year or even the year before, I'm like, I'm watching them crew guys. I'm like, yeah, I know that feeling, being in the garage 4 a.m, changing the tranny, you know, or whatever. Don't miss that part.
I remember Rolex 24, 2022, our first one. I sent Bruce a text message. I was saying, we're going into the hot pits. We got the passes to go into the hot pits. and Jason was with us. Basically everybody in our group but Bruce. I texted Bruce, told him what we were doing. He was like, been there, done that. I'm good. I know what that's all about. And we're geeking out and having a good time. I mean, you've been there and worked that. I mean, it certainly is a rush. I felt like such hot shit being a fire bottle holder at Champ Car at Mid-Ohio. I mean, it felt great. But I'm sure you get to a point where you get a little desensitized to it. There's no question about that.
Yeah. You know, the first few times you do it at different facilities, you know, it's really, really awesome. And then the third or fourth time you go to the same track or you've doing it a few years now, it's like, all right, we got a job to do. You know, let's go. I mean, it was still fun, but it definitely had lost its luster a little bit in that respect. But it was, like I say, I look back on it. It was a great experience that I'll never forget. And if anyone gets a chance to do anything like that, or even like with Jason, with a, you know, being on the race for real, I mean, doesn't matter what it is, you know, what class, what division, what series, it's just awesome. You know, if you get a chance to do it, whatever it is, be it holding the fire bottle or driving a car, you know, 24-hour lemons or whatever, you know, just it's awesome.
I mean, Jason's been through the driving experience of driving the Jetta, but also driving a Honda TC car, as we've talked about, at Anglesey Circuit. I mean, I try to push the limits in my street car, and that's a slippery slope. That's you try, like, exit ramps are your friend when you're trying to just get a feel of it, give it the beans, as everybody says. But I've never driven at speed on a closed circuit, and I just want to be able to do that just once. But I want to know what it feels like. I just want to do that just once, or maybe twice. Just to know what it feels like.
Yeah, you'll be hooked, though. That's the thing. That's the gateway drug right there. That's what it is. So it's, we got to get Bruce strapped in, too, and just, you know, send him out there.
Wait, strap on? Oh, wait, strap in.
Oh, yeah.
This is the second hour.
If I know Bruce, if I know Bruce, he's going to strap it in. Yeah, he's going to strap it in. we're gonna take the fellas karting. Bradley and I did some fast karting in July of last year. We're shaping up to get everybody out to do some fast karting in Pittsburgh once again. But it's gonna be me, Bradley, Patrick, Rob, and whoever wants to show up. We're trying to get this karting situation going. But I think I'm gonna have to get a little more physically fit before I do endurance karting. But that's the affordable. That's where I'm at financially. Let's just say that.
Get those
endurance karting.
Get those dates going, man. I wanna know.
Pittsburgh International Raceway in July. We're gonna get it down. We're gonna announce it soon.
There's 31 days in July. I need more specific.
Pick one.
ITA on the road in Pittsburgh. You're not far from Pennsylvania, Bruce.
No.
And we're gonna go to
far from Pennsylvania. I think 4 or 5 hours from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Maybe more like six. I don't know. I have to look.
You know, we're going to time it to watch. There. Go to PNC Park and watch the Pirates play. It's a beautiful park. I just love the city of Pittsburgh. I don't know how I'm getting on that tangent, but I go up there every year. I just like it. It's grungy. Some people I've talked to a lot of people like, I don't like it. I'm like, I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful, unique city. So fuck everybody that doesn't like it. That's
right.
Yeah, yeah. Show up.
I've played paintball in Pennsylvania somewhere. I don't remember where I was. It was a long time ago.
I was gonna say that's a random situation to find yourself in.
Yeah, like a long time ago. I was a sales rep for a company that sold, you know, paintball markers or paintball guns.
Oh, and
so we used to get, you know, to go on these work trips and, you know, representing the brand and sometimes playing too, that was awesome. We were in the middle of nowhere, somewhere in Pennsylvania, you know, beautiful woods. And we were playing against literally William Shatner. It was a Star Trek
themed
paintball. Yeah, it was pretty epic. Yep. And he was out there riding around. He was riding around.
What?
It's wild. I don't think I have any pictures because literally, this is long, like, this is actually before the cell phone camera, probably, or the cell phone camera would have been, yeah, so I mean, it's probably 20, almost 25 years ago, 20 years ago. Right? And yeah, he was riding around, Shatner was riding around in a golf cart that was converted into a tank, right? Because you can't really have real tanks out there, but it was like a golf cart tank. And our company made like the jerseys. So there was like a Klingon jersey and a Star Trek jersey. Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, you guys ever want to do paintball? I know a little bit about that too.
I want to say, I mean, I love that area. I love that track. We got some track time on the big circuit too at Pit Race, and I'd love to see iRacing scan it. It does look like iRacing is being real sly and cryptic this week with a desert course. But I think to close out, the best way we're all pretty sure that the course that iRacing is teasing and they're coming out with is Willow Springs. And that is certainly a famous West Coast track. I want to say it's a track we saw on Ford versus Ferrari, the movie, but also a track that Jason's familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, I consider that my home track. I have more laps there in all manner of car than any other road track. And it is... yeah, it's been around, I think, since the 60s, and they call it the fastest road in the West, fastest track in the West, because of the average speed, because there are just a lot of, you know, there are some long straights. It's a very high commit track. It's a very fun, it's very rewarding, but it's very fast. Right? It's a high speed track. And there were, yeah, in Ford versus Ferrari, there was a scene where he was racing at Willow Springs. I heard that they used some other track in the movie to recreate it, but you know, in actual history, yes, he raced there and everything. And the asphalt seems like it's the same from the 60s. It definitely tears up tires, like it's a grinder. But it's a really fun racetrack, and I recommend. Must 5 out of 5.
we were texting back and forth, Bradley, Jason, and I. I mean, Bradley was studying the curbing from the teaser that we got, because I saw all kinds of things of, oh, it's the Garage 56 NASCAR that iRacing. I mean, I would be shocked to see that happen at some point, honestly. I think that'd be cool. Yet another series to be either a flop or a success, but it looks a lot like it's going to be a desert-themed course, because the movie Dune came out with a trailer, and iRacing did something clever. They're always being clever, and they put something out. So it's certainly a desert-themed course or a sandy course, and Willow Springs seems to fit the bill. So we know from looking that they scanned the course, or they were working on it back in 2012 or somewhere around there. So this is something that maybe it's from the vault, and they're finally getting it going. But that seems likely. So that's our first teaser. We're going to wait and see if we get any weather or what we might get in the next build. But or I think if anybody has a hot topic, it's going to be another GTP LMDH. Jason?
I think it could, you know, it could happen. I saw somebody comment, it's like, oh, here goes the iRacing curse again. So IMSA just announced, right, that they're going to drop LMP3, which does sense for... You know, it makes sense for their big races, especially, right? It just, now that you have this renewed interest in the top line cars, the GTP or LMDH, right? And you have the P2 cars, right? You don't really need the P3s mixed in, which there was, you know, there's a small amount of them as well. But watch, we'll get a P3 car in iRacing, and then the
Well, we are. We know that we are, because it's they've coming. Already released. They released a mock-up of the Ligier. A while back, earlier this year, I want to say, but I mean, what are they waiting for? Now it's out of date, because it's going to have to be a whole new series. It's not going to be endurance or special events beyond this year, that is. But maybe we'll get it for.
Yeah, they could recreate that series that it's running in, that VP Fuels series. Yeah. I mean, that would be great. I think that would be and that is the right place for that car, it seems like. And you've got still multi-class. I mean, multi-class is, for me, it's still always just the most fun to have on iRacing. Yeah. And I'm bummed out with some of the recent endurance races we've done, where we get into an all GT split or something. And man, we like having it mixed up. So it'd be cool if they could figure out how to make that more, more continuity with that, where you have a chance to race with some of those cars, because it just opens up more opportunity throughout the race as well, you know, where it's just, it's not, you're not just surviving on pure pace, right? There's a little bit more gamesmanship and racecraft involved when you've got the multiple classes.
I agree. You have to strategize based on what's the popular car on the surface at that time. It's a little different in that regard. Well, I'm going to close it out there. I want to thank Bruce Perry coming to us from New York, and Jason Bivens coming to us from Los Angeles for keeping us going this week as the fellows are a little bit tied up. Joining me in the studio for Into the Apex, it feels good to have our road crew. You guys are our road crew and some of our OG guys on Into the Apex. So
good to be back.
It's good to see you both. It's good to talk to you both, and I'm sure everybody is happy to hear each of you back on the show. Thanks so much, guys, for joining me this week.
Thanks, Tyler.
Thank you.
We'll catch you next week. As the month of May continues, we're going to keep hyping up the Indy 500 as we work our way to Speedway Indiana at the end of the month for the road show. We got a big road summer ahead. We're going to be at VIR, followed by Watkins Glen, camping yet again with Bruce, and camping for the first time, camping at Mid-Ohio for the entire IndyCar weekend, and not to mention a Pittsburgh karting trip coming up. The summer and the road shows are going to be a bit off the chain. Check it out at IntoTheApex.com. Give us a little bit of a subscription. And cheers to everybody out there. Enjoy the Speedway 500 if you're doing the majors race or whatever you're doing to keep that IndyCar month of May hype going on the sim. We'll catch you next week on Into the Apex.
F4.
Been listening to Into the Apex from Mad Sim Racing Media. Check out the show's upcoming road trips and join the community at IntoTheApex.com.